The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 4 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them watchable. And today, for sure, we needed some extra beers. Anyway, my name's Pete. I am joined, as always, by Kathleen.
Hello.
Troy.
Hello.
And Dave.
Hello.
We are back and better than ever. Before we get into the film, of course, this month is a birthday month for me, but that doesn't matter because I always get to pick the movies. So,
your birthday matters.
It matters. Kathleen got to pick the movie this month, was joyfully picking the movie this month.
Yay, Kathleen!
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, I'm going to put a little caveat on this to begin with, because if you'll remember from the last episode, I did give you some options.
This is true.
And you boys really wanted Gator, which is the movie that we watched. I was kind of leaning more toward the bowling movie, but you all wanted Gator, so I was like, okay, that's cool, whatever. So any upsetness you have is really just with yourselves.
No, wrong, incorrect. If you put a kid in front of a salad bar and say, go ahead, choose whatever you want, and that kid decides to pile all the worst things in the world on their plate, maybe you shouldn't have put them in front of the salad bar. Because we're kids, we don't know.
Okay, I will accept that, except, you know, this podcast was not my idea. So I did not put you in front of the salad bar.
We built our own salad bar.
I'm standing in front of that same salad bar going, ugh, I don't know what to do.
No, this is what I need to tell myself to keep going with this movie.
I'm just saying.
So anyway, this month we did have, Kathleen chose the movie, it's Gator, 1976,
yes.
Burt Reynolds and Jerry Lee.
No, Jerry Reed.
Jerry Reed, thank you. starred in it, as well as a few other people of note.
Lauren Hutton.
Yeah, Lauren Hutton and her big gap tooth smile and everything.
Yep. I like her gap teeth.
It's fine.
I do too.
It reminds me of Michael Strahan. I mean, you could drive a truck through it. So,
Oh, God.
We'll be reviewing that with our six-pack synopsis. Kathleen will give us... We'll give Kathleen 6 minutes to tell us about the film, and we'll talk about the film a little bit later. Of course, at the end, we will give our ratings, our beer ratings. We also have a surprise beer. Since this is Kathleen's birthday month, she did everything. She picked the beer, she picked the movie. So this beer is a surprise to me, as it is to everyone else. Very exciting. But before we get into that, 3/4 of the Good Beer Bad Movie Night took a road trip out to Westchester. Westchester? No.
Canal Winchester.
That was close. Canal Winchester.
Not really. Westchester.
There's no Westchester anywhere near here.
Shut up.
Well, it's like 2 hours away. It's where the Cincinnati IKEA is.
I suck. Went out to Canal Winchester for the BrewDog grand opening. What'd you guys think of BrewDog? Pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I did not have any idea what we were getting into when we went down there. I expected to come up to y'all right there?
Yes.
I expected to pull up to basically a brew pub.
Uh-huh.
Like a restaurant, little bar. You can see that like they're brewing, like the big containers and whatever, and they're brewing in the back and what have you. And I knew that this was a well-established company out of Scotland, but
I gotcha.
I didn't realize... Sorry, Dave was taking a picture. So I didn't realize that their operation here was... That the idea was for them to be like Jugundus, move a full operation over here.
Jugundus.
So when we got there, I was like, this place is huge. Like, it's like I just didn't know. But it was very impressive. Troy and I ended up taking the brewery tour.
I was unable to. I had a gig later on that afternoon. But yeah, you guys got to go through that. What did you think?
It was cool. It was definitely cool. A lot of what the guy talked about, it was funny because the kid that was giving the tour also works at Four String.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really?
And he was a little hungover because they'd had a lot of parties the night before, because this was like a whole weekend event at Brewdog.
Yes.
And so...
For the listeners who don't know, Four String is actually another brewery in Columbus.
True.
And they are awesome. And we had one of their beers earlier.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. So he was very excited while he was giving the tour.
For somebody being hungover, he had a lot of energy in this game.
He did. Being 20.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
Or excuse me, 21 probably.
At least. But he...
Super excited about brewing.
Knew a lot of stuff. So a lot of what he talked about went right over the head of every person on the tour. Because it was like, hey, and he'd point to these giant stainless steel containers and he would say, this is where we wah 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 wah, and everybody goes, and then he's like, okay, got it, let's go. And then he'd move on to another thing and do the same thing. So like,
and nobody's got it.
Nobody had any idea what he was talking about. But it was funny because one of the things that he talked about was their engineer that helped them design, build the building so that, because this is going to be a major operation, it's like they've built this first building with plans knowing a year from now we're going to do this and a year from now we're going to do this.
Really?
So they've already put all of that into the beginning. And so the engineer who did this is really proud of the fact, and I'm going to mess this number up, that there's 3.4 miles of stainless steel piping, or 4.3. It's one of those. I don't remember which way. Run through the whole thing.
A lot
and he's
of piping.
So excited about it that he has to mention it at least three times in the tour. So he said it the first time, and then he'd go, one. And then he'd go through, and he'd blah, 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 and he'd say it again and go, it was really fun. So that was really cool. The inside of it also has a ton of the kind of graffiti artist spray painting thing that they're known for, like these giant murals that were, those were really cool.
Yeah, the guy that was doing the, there was a guy that was out front that was spray painting on a bus. Same guy that's doing all the murals inside the brewery.
Really?
And like they had these really cool, there were obviously stenciled spray paints on all the stainless steel bins or
yeah, like those big three. Like once it goes through the mash and then it moves into me, something, and then it moves into me, and then it moves into me.
Right tank.
Those three have a big thing on them, and you can see those tanks.
You played
through.
Close attention during this tour.
I listened to what he said. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Those are kind of weird words that you don't normally.
Yeah.
Well, and like,
it's like, but mash, I know that word.
Yeah.
And then we argle-barled the Fingstang.
Right, exactly. And I just go, wow, that is so neat. At what temperature was that done? Cool. 3.4 miles of piping. Excellent.
Or 4.3.
Right. And then, but you can see those three tanks and the stenciling that's on them through the big glass window where the restaurant is attached.
Oh, okay. We did go through the... I ran through the restaurant before I left.
Yeah.
So there's some big glass.
Yeah, five pinball machines.
And a restaurant.
Look at the and a full restaurant.
With a big bar.
So we did touch on what the event looked like in the clips. So we'll play those clips.
Yeah.
We'll play those clips now.
Okay. I have no idea how this is going to sound. Good evening. Welcome. Or good day. Whatever.
It's noon.
It is noon on a Sunday. This is Good Beer, Bad Movie Night podcast. Pete, Troy, and Kathleen are here at the BrewDog Grand Opening.
Woo!
And it is set up really nicely. We've got, a dozen maybe food trucks and a big bar. And we are, of course, in Canal Winchester in Ohio. And boy, this is really
nice. This place is gigantic.
It's enormous.
Idea.
Yeah.
It's way bigger than I thought it was going to be.
They're not shitting around. And they've got an interesting package where you can invest in the company. For like, I think it's like $100 or something, you can get a share. Now, that's not that's not really an investment, but it's kind of fun to have.
I know, I kind of like to do it, actually.
Yeah, and I do too. And
what is it? What does that get you, I wonder?
Well, something like, at work.
You get to get into events,
yeah,
maybe,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
That's exactly what it is. Like they,
I got a hundo, let's go.
Well, yeah. You got like a t-shirt, and I don't know, there's a bunch of perks that come with it.
After tasting the Elvis juice, I am invested. I am a fan.
It's a hoot. And those are the first, Punk IPA, Elvis, and then there was one more that they had, which was like a really low ABV beer. I forget what that
was. It
totally
a session?
Dry, yeah, it was a session IPA or something. I got the book here. This is good radio, folks. Dead Pony.
Dead Pony.
Dead Pony.
Yummy.
I don't know if I'm going to try that one. I have a weird thing about names of things being bad ideas.
It's a Dead Pony Club. It is a session IPA. It's 3.4%. Now, BrewDog is known throughout the beer community as an ABV...
powerhouse.
Exactly. Yeah. They've got a beer... They've got two beers. I forget what the big one is called.
History. End of History.
Is that...
End of
is
History. It, I've looked it up twice because
like
I was showing...
35% beer or something?
Yeah, that
like
was the one that they served it in taxidermied squirrels.
Yeah.
So, like, the squirrels are, like, look like they're going... up in the air with like a bottle coming out of the top of their mouth.
Oh, it was great.
End of History.
Yeah.
I love Scottish people.
The one the one that's a little easier to get is called Tactical Nuclear Penguin, and that's in the 25% range or so.
Yeah, I think they only did like 36 bottles of the End of History or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it was real rare. Hey, we got some more friends. Krista and Gary are here.
Krista
got
and Gary.
To sell some beers. Hello.
Hi.
So I think we're going to go grab some beers and...
Continue later.
Continue later. We'll talk. So, signing off for now.
Had some at home.
Grabbed a six pack.
Let's see if this is working. So, yeah, this is super cool. BrewDog's got other local breweries here. Land Grant, Platform, Rheingeist, Mad Tree, Jackie O. And I know they keep some of these on tap inside the tasting room also. So, that's real cool.
That's giving of them.
Wow. Well, it's a way to build community.
Exactly.
Best way to build your business is to build community. If you come into a place and you're like, no, we're the best, F you, then that's the fastest way to turn people off.
Yeah.
But you come in and want to build with community. And Columbus clearly has a lot, and Ohio in general, has a lot of local breweries. Welcoming them all in is just the best way to, you know, reach out and make more connections.
When I was brewing for CBC and Neil House, she went when there was not a convention, but like a beer tasting or a beer fest of some sort. Everyone was like open arms. Everyone was like, oh, I really like how you did that, and I really like how you do that. It's as cutthroat a business as it is the most welcoming business there. It's incredible how, you know, you've got the fast food wars and how restaurants are so vile to each other at times.
Right.
The brewers are exactly the opposite.
Right,
they're so welcoming.
Right.
And the community will reach out to help you if you need. You can call. I remember at CBC once we had to call somebody for bottles. It's like, hey, we need like, all we need is like 60 bottles. And that's not even a flat.
Yeah.
Right. It's, oh, sure, yeah, come on down. We said, good. Because we were in the middle of a run and we ran out of
just
bottles.
Just a little short.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. This is awesome.
Yeah, well, they started off with giving away a one free Punk IPA, which is a nice, solid IPA.
It is. It's been available in the States for a while. BrewDog, if you don't know, they're from Scotland, and this is their first North American facility. They chose Columbus, which
I know,
is wonderful.
Some nice boys with nice Scottish accents here.
Yeah. They're definitely
really okay with that.
It's nice that they learned English.
Stop that. They probably have better grammar and diction than we do. This structure is way bigger. I was expecting like North High Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what I was expecting. It's just like, you know, their bar and, you know, a few things to the side. And I am blown away at the size of this place.
They are supplying not only the United Kingdom, but the United States from Scotland. So they are a large company already.
Right.
Yeah.
So this being their first one, they know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
They have investors. They have big time investors overseas, and then they open up for more investing here. So that.
Did you see they had a Kickstarter to get a hotel attached to this and they got it?
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's a cool looking hotel too.
It's pretty awesome.
Their plans that they got on there on the Kickstarter is just sweet. It would be fun to bring Ryan down here.
They've got plans for several restaurants in Ohio. They want to put one in Columbus, of course, Cleveland and Cincinnati. They want to open up a chain of restaurants also. So they're not fucking around.
No, they got big plans.
They got big plans and they got big money to back it up.
Oh, she got shy.
She got shy. So we'll cut that out.
Yeah.
She did tell us about some tours, so I got to get going here pretty quick.
I wouldn't mind going for a tour.
Let's say let's go do a tour.
Yeah,
wanna
grab
a?
Right? I got one more and then go through.
Yeah, I got one more for a pint and we can go. We'll see if I got enough time for a tour, and if not, I'll just take off and...
Deal.
All right, deal. We're going to grab a beer. If we come back, we'll come back. If not, we'll see you later. Thanks for tuning in to Good Beer, Bad Movie Night.
That was our experience. Those were our recordings. There were just a couple of them, and we're new at this, so we'll get more at the next thing that we do.
Did you get some pictures of your trip to BrewDog?
Yeah. I posted a few things on Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. Facebook page.
What about the Instagram?
So make sure you like this on the Facebook page.
They're not on Instagram yet, but I can pull them from the Facebook page and put them on the Instagram page.
Beep. They also had a super cool, I couldn't tell you what the scale was, but it was a rendering in Legos of the brewery.
Yeah, that was really
It was a work of art. I swear to God, I thought I posted it. Maybe I didn't.
I didn't see it.
So it's a
Troy
recreation
took pictures of it.
Of the brewery.
Really?
Yeah, of what's there in Canal Winchester.
I don't think it's an exact, you know, 1/100th. But
no.
here's the restaurant, here's the merch shop, here's the brewery.
Yeah.
But some asshole just built it. In, you know what?
Yeah.
Those guys are awesome.
It was cool.
It's
whatever happens now,
it
like
was
how,
really
that,
cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, and we talked to somebody, and I don't know if we had talked about this when we were there earlier, but then we talked to somebody when we were inside too about the hotel that they're going to put up.
Mm-hmm. That was mentioned on the clip.
Yeah.
And they're building a hotel there in Canal Winchester next to the brewery.
For the brewery.
For the brewery.
And the brewery is building it.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, they'll do all the... They'll ship people back and forth from the Buckeye games and Blue Jackets games and whatever else.
Oh,
they'll
do
all that stuff. They're also building... I know they have
fun.
They have big plans to open up BrewDog restaurants. I couldn't tell you what kind of food it is, but... I would assume it's going to be something like a Max and Irma's.
Right. I think it's going to be
based
very...
on BrewDog beers.
Yeah.
Since this is Kathleen's birthday, birthday month, I wanted to make sure that we do whatever she wants to do. So, do we want to do the beer first, or do we want to do some six-pack synopsis first?
Oh, let's talk about the movie a little bit.
All right. You want to do your...
We've done lots about BrewDog. That way it's not confusing. To be like, oh, we've suddenly just switched beers. What are we talking about? So,
that's not a bad idea. Give me a chance to finish this one.
Also a thought I was having. So, okay, well, so I'll, before we do the official six-pack synopsis or whatever. So when I was first looking into this and talking about this, and I think I mentioned this on the last episode when I was giving these boys their options. Gator, which is the movie.
Don't do that. Don't pin it on us. Like, this is all you.
It's really not, but
it's been Care Bears.
Right? Right. So see, I have a birthday every year, so just remember that.
Hell.
So when we first were looking at Gator's actually the sequel to a movie called White Lightning. And Trey and I watched both of them. Did you watch both of them?
I watched both of them.
And Dave, you just watched Gator?
Yeah, I knew that we had to watch Gator for this, and I was actually really excited to see it. And then maybe 3/4 of the way through Gator, I'm like, no, there's nothing. I'm not watching White Lightning.
Yeah.
I feel like I got enough. Like, this is enough.
Yeah, oh, it's more than enough. Because one of the things that we talked about a little bit is that it's essentially the same story. It's White Light. If you've seen Gator, you've seen White Lightning. It's like they had this idea, and they made the movie, and it was okay. And then, but somebody who was really passionate about the concept, which apparently was Burt Reynolds, in talking about White Lightning and Gator, decided to take that same character, expand upon that same character, and sort of tell the same kind of story. And so that's kind of what happened.
Okay, fantastic. So, speaking
of expanding, if you want to tell us the story of White Lightning / Gator,
all right,
you
I
have
can do it.
Six pack synopsis, 6 minutes.
Ready?
I am ready.
Six packs. And a six pack, you get 6 minutes. Ready, set.
Okay, so Gator stars Burt Reynolds as Gator McCluskey. Great name, by the way. And so after his release from prison, notorious ex-con and moonshine distiller, Gator McCluskey moves in with his father in a cabin in the... Oh, I meant to practice how to say this. Oh, yes, that's right. Okie Finokie Swamp. His bootlegging plans are cut short, however, when a federal agent tells McCluskey that he will lose custody of his 9-year-old daughter unless he helps bring down a local crime lord. And we find out that this local crime lord is somebody that Gator grew up with, and his name is Bama McCall. And Bama McCall has moved on from the swamp. I don't 100% know what city he's in or what city the swamp is in. But
Dunston County.
Yes, he is in Dunston County. But I wasn't sure, like, what state they were in. Like, in White Lightning, they're in Arkansas. But I don't know if they're still in Arkansas and Gator.
Well,
so, anyway,
the swamp is in, like, Florida. North Florida, yeah.
I thought so, yeah.
I assume.
Aha.
So he goes to sort of check out and see... Is my boy Bama as bad as what they're saying he is? And if he's not, screw the feds. And if he is, okay, I'll do what I have to do. And he comes to find out that his boy Bama is a real bad dude. He's
bad.
Like, what do I want to say? He's making people pay for, like, his protection and to be able to, you know, if your business is going to exist, you have to pay a cut to Bama. So he's kind of a one-man crime lord kind of thing. He also is running a horrible prostitution ring. He's into drugs and, you know, just, like, distilling whiskey and moonshine and all that is one thing, but he crosses a line and Gator's not having it. So he busts him big time. Done. With...
Oh, that's...
That was 2 minutes.
That was two... That's it?
That's all?
Well, there's not a lot of...
There's not a lot of story. I mean...
You're not wrong.
So, I mean, it is Burt Reynolds' directorial debut.
Yes, it is.
And the first chunk of the movie... Like, I feel like this movie is two movies. There's, like, the first part of the movie where it's like, let's find out what a bad guy Bama is. And then it's... Let's find out how to bust him. Or let's bust him. Because I told Troy, like, I don't feel like any of the act, because the movie is super slow. It's so fucking slow.
And, well, the reason it's slow is 115 minutes. It's damn near 2 hours in 1976, for God's sakes.
I know.
Stop.
I know.
It could have been a fine movie at 70, 75 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But 115?
Yeah.
Make it stop.
We didn't need... 20-minute escapades to show each of the aspects of Bama's crime lord business.
You kind of did.
I don't think so. We didn't need to.
Maybe not
like,
that
they
long.
Go to that bar.
The strip club.
Well, there's the first one that Bama goes to by himself when we're first introduced to him and he kind of flirts with the girl at the door.
The strip club.
And he throws a couple guys
yeah.
across the thing or whatever and then burns the place down.
Right.
And I think the whole point of that was to demonstrate that the cops are clearly in his pocket. Because the one guy, as soon as he walks in the door, the guy's on the phone and he's calling. He's like, I need the police. And then Bama beats up some people, threatens the guy. Give me my money. I don't have the money. This place is a fire trap. Then suddenly the building's on fire and the police are sitting off to the side like, oh, should we go do that? I'm eating my dinner. So it's like...
It's supper.
Okay, yeah, probably. So, like, we needed that. But then we didn't need to see essentially a repeat of that when Bama takes Gator and does almost the same thing at the Black Club.
Right, when he shakes them down too. Right.
Yeah, when he shakes them down too. And then... I don't know. And then just like, because Gator's whole thing is that he's kind of going undercover, like he's going to work for Bama,
right.
And he's going to be one of his collectors.
But in reality, he's working
with the feds. Figure out how bad this guy is and whether or not he's going to actually turn him into the Fed.
He's supposed to be collecting evidence, and he's got like this little notebook that he pulls out every once in a while and holds it up close to his face and is like...
Which he did in White Lightning as well.
Yeah,
when they were touring around the different places in that county, which is one of those similarities in White Lightning.
Yeah.
He's busting the sheriff of... I don't remember.
Ned Beatty.
Yeah. Bogan County or something. And then in this one, he's going after Bama McCall in Dunston County. And he does have a little notebook that he's like writing stuff down.
Wait, so Ned Beatty was in... I'll
White
take the word for it.
He was White Lightning?
Yes.
Okay.
Ned Beatty was
White
Lightning.
I thought for sure I saw him in this movie.
No. The guy that plays the FBI, the federal agent.
Oh, the
he kind of is Ned Beatty shaped. But you know who he is?
So what kind of shape is he in? Well, was he more of like a Ned Beatty shape or like a Stephen King shape? Or like, is he more of like a Steve Bannon shape? Like, how are we talking here?
I'm sorry, but
Wilford Brimley?
Yeah.
He's a diabetes shape.
But that guy that I wrote down his name.
You talking about Doug Taylor? No.
No.
Oh, you're talking about the guy, the federal agent who wore the seersucker suit.
Yeah.
Jack
yes.
Weston is his name, and he plays Mr. Kellerman in Dirty Dancing.
Oh dear God.
He's the guy that owns the hotel that they go to visit.
I did not do that much research on this movie.
I did not give it much of the time of day. Well, in we have to pull up. Well, I'll make sure that we pull it up and play it because we have to play the Ballad of Gator McCluskey.
Oh,
yes, that was actually sung by Jerry Reed.
Yes,
who also sang the theme song for Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes,
and
is
co-starred
in Smokey
with
the,
the first two Smokey and the Bandits. He co-starred with Burt Reynolds. Yeah, so White Lightning with Ned Beatty, Deliverance. We had Jerry Reed with Burt Reynolds and Gator, and they were also in the first two
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yep, absolutely.
So, Smokey and the Bandit. Well, so I think that, obviously, so I looked up when this movie came out, because after we watched White Lightning... Because I could not get over how young Burt Reynolds looked.
He didn't have a mustache
in
White Lightning.
He didn't have
a
mustache.
So it totally threw me off.
It totally changes the way that he looks.
Who are
right.
you?
And so that one came out in 73.
Uh-huh.
This one came out in 76, in August of 76. Like a month before I was born. Like legit, almost the day a month before I was born. And so I thought it was funny. Like I looked up some like little details about it or whatever. And, Roger Ebert at the time gave it 1.5 out of 4 stars. He was not a fan.
Wow.
But
on Rotten Tomatoes, it does have a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This Gator is not good.
No, it's not. But that's why it's in this podcast. None of these movies are good.
Sterling Archer would actually...
Well, that's not entirely true. I like that spider one a little bit.
You like... Oh, yeah, that's right. You like Giant Spider.
That was fun.
So, I thought it was interesting, and we kind of talked about this, about how Burt Reynolds is the director of this, and he sort of just kind of ignored the storyline of White Lightning. Because... It's only been 3 years, but in Gator, he has a 9-year-old, and he didn't have any kids in White Lightning, you know? And he ended up with a girlfriend at the end of White Lightning, and it is definitely not the girl who, you know, whatever. Which is, I mean, you don't expect those kind of relationships to last anyway, so I wasn't real shocked about that one.
Well, he is an outlaw, and you got to live the outlaw life.
That's right.
He didn't get put away as a moonshiner, right?
Yes.
Yep.
He'd been,
busted,
not at the end of White Lightning. At the beginning of White Lightning, he was already in prison for a second time bust of moonshine.
Okay.
The weirdest prison I've ever seen. I kept saying to Troy, is he in a prison? Is this a hospital? What's happening? Why is it like a giant communal room full of bunks? Like, I've never seen a prison depicted that way on a movie before.
And then when he decides that he's going to escape, he just starts running. You know, it's like, there's no walls.
He waves to the guy in the, watchtower, like, hey, here I go.
Yeah. That was the,
so weird.
That was the least creative prison break ever.
And not successful.
He just kind of left.
Yeah, and he still got caught by the guy on the horse.
So, yeah. But, so the beginning of Gator, he's been in prison twice, but he's out. Like, he's served his time. So it's like a little bit like, okay, I did this thing in White Lightning, and so now here I am doing this. So, I don't know. My favorite part of this movie, though, kooky lady who was worked in the clerk's office.
Oh, yes. The cat lady?
For the mayor. Yes, the cat lady.
So I wanted to say that the beginning was the beginning, right? And the end was, the beginning was a big sort of a chase scene. And
the boat chase magnificent
boat chase, second only to, what was it, Live and Let Die? No.
Goldeneye.
No. It was Roger Moore, James Bond film. And it was down in the South. I can't think of it. Doesn't matter. Second only to that boat scene. That was an amazing boat chase.
It was.
And then the last half was them chasing him, beating the shit out of each other. The middle section
was
my favorite section. It was amazing. When they hit town and were trying to find the records to put away Bama.
And that's what I was starting to say.
That's when Lauren Hutton was finally really entrenched in the movie.
Right.
And then the extra players in the film. Oh, man.
Yes.
I was like, oh, now we're getting some sort of an entertaining film.
Yes.
And it didn't last very long.
It didn't. So.
But yeah, she's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's Esmeralda from Bewitched. And then she's also from Designing Women.
Lauren Hutton?
No. This is the cat lady.
I was just going to say, like, I think I would know that.
And then from the 80s TV show Designing Women, she plays this, like, mildly Alzheimer's/crazy woman named Bernice, who is just hilarious. In every, like, there's a Christmas episode where she she shows up because they're having a Christmas party and she's all dressed up and she's literally wearing a Christmas tree skirt like that you put around the base of a Christmas tree, but she's wearing it like a skirt.
Oh, not like a skirt clothing, like you're talking about tree skirt.
I'm talking about a tree skirt that you would put under a Christmas tree. Bernice is wearing it as a skirt clothing in this episode because it has Christmas trees on it and she's coming to a Christmas party and she was like, I found it in the cupboard in a box. It's labeled Christmas tree skirt. So I put it on.
Man, who knew that Designing Women had so many layers?
That show is hilarious. I love that show. But yeah, so.
And dementia is always funny.
They never really say that she has dementia or Alzheimer's. She's just kind of crazy. It sort of feels like her character from Gator would grow old to be Bernice, to be honest with you. Except she didn't make it to the end of the movie, but. The cat's like refusing to go into the courthouse unless she can take her cats. Where she turned around and got back in the car, she's like, "Nope, I'm not going. I can't take the cats."
Yeah, they're going to the county seat or whatever.
Yeah.
To find going
to the court
tax records.
The
court of clerks. That's right. And Reynolds and Lauren Hutton and this crazy cat lady.
Ghostly is her name.
But she won't help them because she was the. Clerk.
She was the clerk, and she's the one who knows there's two separate sets of records because the mayor in this town is in the pocket of Bama, and so is the police department, and so she says, I've got these records that will prove it, and we can put them away.
By far the best part of the film, because it was hilarious.
Yes.
They hop in her car, she won't do it without bringing her cats along with her, because crazy cat lady.
Right.
And then they have a little bit of a... Edwards sneaking around sort of filmography thing going on there. A little
very Keystone
behind
Cops
the doors.
Oh, like.
Keystone Cops,
little,
right.
You know,
but the cats weren't behaving, which made it even funnier.
Yeah.
Trying to pick the cats up, get them out of the car.
I think that was genuine, too. Because like
the cats, the cats weren't acting. They were.
Yeah. The cats were not acting.
I think Burt Wells. Burt Reynolds actually was getting clawed because at one point he's like, ah! It is genuine.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a genuine son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Fucking cat just clawed my wolf.
Which actually is consistent with one of the very first scenes in the movie when he was trying to eat, the introduction of Gator McCluskey.
Oh, yeah.
And he was trying to eat and there was a puppy on his lap who was just not having any of it, like would not let him eat.
Yes,
just keep
wanted
to
eat when he was
plate.
Eating. Yeah.
The adorable puppy.
He's sitting there like trying not to throw this. You could just tell that Burt Reynolds wanted to throw this puppy out of the shot.
Apparently you just picked it up. It's a sweetie puppy.
Yes, yes. I know. I told Troy watching this, I completely forgot about Burt Reynolds' giggle. Like, the way laughs, it's so...
that doesn't even do it justice. It's close, but...
It's close.
Yeah. I was like, because he doesn't laugh too many times in White Lightning because... the storyline behind that is he's trying to bust this guy in revenge for the murder of his brother. Mm-hmm. And so, not a lot to laugh about.
Which
was
a pretty intense opening for that movie, just FYI.
The murder?
It opens on them murdering his brother.
Yeah.
And they it's the sheriff towing this boat out, and there's two guys that are tied up in the boat, tied up to some... And you realize that they're tied up and attached to some concrete.
A boat.
The boat. And then the sheriff just kind of reaches around with a shotgun and shoots their boat. And, it shows them sinking. And then they just kind of put off into the distance. It's not a word said the whole time.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It was like, ooh, this could be really good.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Went downhill from there.
Yeah.
I also didn't make it all the way awake through White Lightning. I fell asleep during White Lightning.
I had to give her the 6-minute synopsis after she woke up.
Yes. We did rewind and I watched some of the end of it. So I was I made it to here. And then he was like, oh, we got to see this. And rewound and watched some of it. I did stay awake all the way through Gator, though.
Oh, did you?
Really?
Well, I figured I had to.
I actually, I finally pulled a Kathleen. And I think it was right toward the end of the second act. I was just like... something about a clerk of courts. What?
Yeah.
Cats? Something? And I ended up having to rewind it and
watch
the rest of it.
I thoroughly enjoyed that middle section.
Yes.
And then it just jumped the shark after. God.
My favorite part or thing that was in this movie was Bama has these two... goons that work for him. Bones and Smiley.
Okay, did you recognize Smiley?
Yes, Blazing Saddles.
I did not. Stand up. Oh.
Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as I saw
him. I know
here's
exactly
the thing.
That is.
I was
why don't you sing us a song?
Super freaked out by him. I was super creeped out by him. Because we're introduced to Smiley with him leaning over Burt Reynolds.
Drooling over.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And being
obviously enamored with him.
Right?
Yes.
And talking about how he was in prison and some of the maybe not so consensual sexual acts that go on in prison. And he was super excited about him. And it's I was as uncomfortable as Gator McCluskey was in that moment watching that. I was just so awful.
Yeah.
So I did not like that. But I love that Bones is hugely tall and drives the car with his head out of the sunroof.
There's a moonroof on this little Honda Civic or something. No, it's a big Cadillac something.
Oh, yeah, because it's
but they've got a moonroof so the dude can literally. He's, 7'3"?
Oh,
what?
He's huge.
Bruce Lee fight him in one of the movies?
No, that was Will Chamberlain.
No, that was. Yeah. No, that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. Okay, maybe that is what I'm thinking of.
But he was one of those huge guys who's so huge that his throat is actually stretched, so he has one of those Andre the Giant sounding voices.
Yes.
And that hearing the exchange actually when he was introduced, this is Bones, when Bama McCall was introducing him.
Yeah.
This is Bones, hey Bones, tell him why they call you Bones, and he's like, because I dare them to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of funny, but also kind of terrifying, and I'm kind of okay with this.
Right, right. But him, the first time we see him is in the car he's driving, and I said to Troy, I was like, is that guy driving the car who's poking out of the top of the car? And you see the car turns a corner, and the camera's able to see through the side window. You can see his hands on the steering wheel. And I was like, that is fucking
his knees are straddling the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I was dying. Every time he was driving the car, I would lose it.
Jerry Reed would walk out of it, and he was like, oh, it's a real-sized car.
Yeah.
This man is just enormous.
Yeah.
7'3" or whatever. Yeah.
So he was 7'3" or something like that.
It was huge.
Crazy tall.
So, yeah. So the kind of middle part of the movie that is kind of enjoyable is after...
Sorry.
Gator has decided he's not working for Bama. He's out of here. I'm going home. I don't want to have anything to do with any of this. and then they beat up the Fed, and so that kind of pulls him back in. Like, oh, man, I was gonna, mm-hmm. but then you did this, and that's not okay. So he goes and visits the Fed at the hospital, and that's where he hooks up with Lauren Hutton.
Yes.
Because she's a reporter who we've seen a little bit of her here and there. And so, and she's already made contact with Crazy Cat Lady.
Yes.
And so, because she, that, so then they go to her house and they talk about it. And then that's how they decide to break into the courthouse. And then from there, they go to her uncle's beach house.
Oh, yeah.
To pour through the records, basically, and get the information that they need to get.
I also know that when, every time I want to pour through records to try to incriminate somebody, I want to do it in a rowboat on the beach. At night.
Right. Well, they didn't want to look at the records. The Fed wanted to look at the records. They wanted to go to the beach and...
They wanted to look at each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I did too.
Yeah,
Lauren. Check out your records.
She's a good looking gal.
She's a good looking gal.
During the... When Gator got to the town and the Crazy Cat Lady was protesting.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm.
And he sees Lauren Hutton across the
crowd. Yeah, there's a celebration in the town. The mayor's there. The marching band's playing the Minnesota Fight song in Florida, which is weird.
The mayor was played by Dub Taylor.
Yes, he was.
I saw him. I'm like, it's that guy.
That's everything.
Yes. Like, he's been in, like, you just see him in and out of movies for the entire 20th century.
Yeah.
Been in every Southern and Western.
Yeah.
Film, including Maverick. He was in.
Yeah, he was in Maverick, and then also in Maverick.
right.
And then,
yeah, he was in Back to the Future 3 too.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh huh. But there was one. The Crazy Cat Lady was protesting, and she had some sign that said "Down with the Mayor." Whatever it was, and she hit a cop.
Oh yeah.
And the cop's like, "Don't come on, I don't want to arrest you." And she whacks him with this sign. And she whacks him so hard, it breaks over his head. And I think she realized that she actually hit him and brings the stick back and whacks herself in the head.
I didn't catch that.
It happened so fast, I had to rewind it. And I went, oh my God, that's hilarious. She really hit herself. They kept acting, no cuts or anything. Took her away.
She's a professional.
I bet they walked away from that scene going, son of a bitch. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Ow.
I do like that she clarified, like, I'm not attacking you.
Right.
I'm attacking the institution of the mayor and that political system, and like, this is me expressing my rights as a person. I'm like, you know what, I'm kind of behind that.
And that was whack a police officer.
Yeah, I know.
Because they clearly knew each other.
Because he was like, please don't make me arrest you, ma'am. I've known you since I was 7 years old. And she's just like, bam, whacks him. And he's just like, oh, he has to drag her away.
Designing women.
Bernice.
Oh, that was Bernice. All
right. Who needs a beer?
So, yeah. I need a beer.
I'm thinking, let's have a beer and then wrap this up because... There's, I don't know how much more we have to say about the film.
I know.
I definitely want to talk about this beer, though.
But yes. I also have, there's cool ideas about Burt Reynolds in this movie in the South that
yes.
I want to talk about.
Yes, I've got things surrounding this film to speak about as well.
It's
so
just a cool concept.
Let's take a break. Let's take a potty break. Let's go grab our beers. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, we are back with our beer today. Our good beer, Bad Movie Night. Yes, we have new glasses.
Do I not have it? No, yours is over here.
She was nice enough to put the beer next to your glass.
Yes.
All right, so we got...
So, I sent Troy to the beer mecca that we have
here
in town. And this is a Breckenridge Brewery. Beer. And it is, he picked it out because it's their 72 Imperial. So it has a nice, like, looks like the car that McCluskey would have been driving car on the front of it.
I was thinking maybe Supernatural also?
Yes, it does remind me.
That's an Impala.
It does remind me of the Impala.
No, that would be a Chrysler Imperial, a 1972.
Sorry.
Yes.
My bad.
So, yeah, so this is a chocolate cream stout.
Oh my. We only have one of those, please.
Yes, we only have one.
Thankfully.
Yes. We're going to have to share.
We're each going to drink one of these.
Yeah.
This pint.
Yeah.
That's fine, because oof.
So this one, because, you know, I, much like I don't watch these kind of movies, I don't have a lot of beer knowledge either. I just drink it and go, tasty. And that's sort of the end of it. So I, like, overstudied to make sure I knew what I was talking about for this part.
but you did it, and that's marvelous. Yeah. Just
so I looked up the Breckenridge Brewery. I assume you've been there, having been a skier in the Breckenridge area. So this is one of their barrel-aged, it falls under their category of barrel-aged specialty singles.
Okay, what does barrel-aged mean exactly?
According to this, it is a whiskey barrel-aged beer.
Like a bourbon barrel?
It says yes. Whiskey.
Probably
bourbon. It's 7.2% alcohol.
Oh,
really? So that's not what this says.
That's what it said on the website for Breckenridge 7.2, that I looked at this morning. That's what it says
on the bottle.
Oh, it says
on the bottle,
and on the bottle. So that's what we'll go with.
So
7.2? Maybe.
7.2.
The website said 7.2% alcohol.
Oh, yes,
72
imperial.
Yes.
So does the bottle.
I assumed, but then when I looked at their other barrel aged, like the other beers that they had listed on the website that were under this same concept, a lot of them were this. We're close to 7.2, so I was like, maybe just all of these are like that.
Wow, you can really taste whiskey in
it's
this.
Smell. You can really
I
smell.
Smells
like
get,
smell.
I get whiskey. I get that vanilla bourbon whiskey in the nose. That is a, and it is definitely a stout, so we're talking completely opaque. With the cream stout, you might get a little lactose in there, a little sweet milk going on. And, of course, it'll be super low carbonated.
Yeah. So I looked up about the brewery, and I thought this was interesting. So the Breckenridge...
Wow.
It's good. I like it. The Breckenridge Brewery started in 1990 in Breckenridge, Colorado, as a brew pub. And then they opened up a second one in 1992. And then by 1996, they moved to a large production site and stayed there for about 19 years. And at 19 years, they were at 60,000 barrels a year.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's quite enough.
So then they moved to Littleton, Colorado, and bought in 2015 to a 12 acres of land.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
So I thought that was really cool.
When did they, do you have a date?
They did that in 2015.
2015, okay.
Then
Jody and I were up there in like 2003 and 5.
Yeah.
So we were still at their small facility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to find Breckenridge Brewing here in Ohio. So, they've got the capacity now.
Well, and I thought this was interesting. In 2016, they became part of the high-end family of craft beers that are now owned by Anheuser-Busch.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, yeah. So which means they're owned by Bevco.
InBev.
Sorry. InBev.
What?
Bevco?
So,
I was thinking, you know,
beverage company.
Yeah, I was thinking of an entirely different... company, sorry.
Both of the smaller brew pubs are still open and functioning in the two that are like Breckenridge and then Breckenridge adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And then their big facility that's the 12 acres in that's in Littleton, which is like, I guess, like 10-15 miles from Breckenridge.
Littleton,
Colorado. Okay. It says it's really close to Denver. I've never been to Colorado, so I'm not entirely sure.
Denver and Breckenridge are about 2 hours away.
Okay, so then this is just south of Denver. Littleton is.
The town, I think, is Dillon to Breckenridge. They're real close to each other.
So, but both of the pubs are open that are the ones that are in Breckenridge still, and they're still going to do, like, small batch, but you'll only be able to get it there.
Awesome.
So, yes.
Oh, that's the barrel age. Yeah, it's still, it's pretty hot. It's hot in my mouth, so.
Yeah.
I said that.
Love a stout. Like, I can have one now and again, but I really like this one.
I like this a lot. I don't know if I could get more through more than 2 pints of it, because there's a lot going on.
Hmm.
And what is the ABV on this?
7.2.
7.2 again? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would probably put me on my ass if I could drink it as much as I would,
say,
like a Guinness, which I can pound back.
Yeah.
Guinness being a 4.2 beer.
Yeah. I mean Guinness is relatively lightweight, and it's not as fizzy, like any stout. So, like, I've gone through, I'm X amount of Guinness in a night, and it's fine. I mean, there were some pretty alarming black poops that happened the next day, but yeah. Like this one,
it's
I can only
thing.
Do. Yeah,
oh, it is.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, and I was going to apologize for being graphic, but fuck that. I'm not apologizing. I've had mentioned Pete and I used to work together at, and we used to go frequent an Irish pub and drink lots and lots and lots of Guinness. And hence, this is why I know about the black poops. And there is quite nothing quite like waking up the next morning and...
Dear God, what
like, oh, wait, that's right. I was drinking Guinness.
I'm sorry for anybody that was listening with headphones right there. It's like, oh my God.
Right. So, was that the... Do we have another one?
Another beer?
We do.
We do.
Oh, well, I just thought so much of this.
Maybe in between we do the...
Well,
do we want to talk about, like, the very ending of the movie? Like, the catch of...
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
Bama, and then right. we'll go to our
Let's
one.
Finish up
so
the movie talk and go
yeah.
back into the beer.
Right.
So
Bama, once they have the records, they go to the beach house. Bert and Lauren... run off to the beach and have a little romance time, and the crazy cat lady decides that she's in love with the Fed,
right.
which he's not.
I find you very attractive.
Really?
Yes.
He's not okay with.
Oh my God.
Yeah. he's a weird dude.
Oh my God.
So, the next morning, Bama shows up at the beach house.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that night. I don't really know. Gator and Lauren sleep at the beach.
On the beach
in
a rowboat.
In a rowboat overnight, right.
Actually, I think they came back, and then they went back out to get something, if I remember right. I don't remember what it was.
Well, we joked about that because they wake up in that sweater.
They're both wearing the same cable-knit
sweater. Yes.
It's like identical sweaters.
No. It's one sweater.
Oh.
It's her sweater buttoned up. The two of them are... Like, he's got one arm in the sleeve and one arm around her.
Yeah.
She's got the other arm in the sweater. It looked like they had matching sweaters on until they start to get up and you can see the buttons up in between
straining
the two
to hold
of them.
Both
yeah.
in.
It's her sweater.
I totally missed that.
They're both
oh, Gator, I need you in my love sweater.
Ew. Well, okay.
I'm
down. Lauren McCall.
Right. So,
Lord Hutton,
not the call.
Yeah, right. So at some point, I don't know if it was that morning or if it was overnight, but Bama shows up at the beach house and he shoots the Fed and sort of kidnaps the crazy cat lady and then pours a bunch of gasoline over the paperwork and lights it on fire.
Burns the whole beach house down.
Right, but I feel like that's not what his intention was. Like, I feel like his intention was just to burn the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Crazy Cat Lady's like, my babies, and she runs back into the house.
To save
the cats. Right. To save the cats, they kind of go, like, they're going to go get her.
Yeah.
And the fire's suddenly out of control, so then they run away.
Right.
And then it explodes.
As
because it's
do.
The 1970s.
Right. Well, this is also a house
explosive
that doesn't have a phone, either.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
Gator
yeah.
has that really kind of funny scene with those two kids in the...
Yeah,
in
the phone
booth.
Yeah.
That was it.
The phone booth.
That was one of those scenes that's like, did we really need this scene?
No, we did not. Though, the two kids were calling somebody, we've got your lost dog.
Yeah.
And,
That was not a necessary scene.
And it took forever for him to, like, move around the dog and talk to him.
Right,
and, like,
I don't understand why he couldn't pull the phone out and just talk. Yeah.
Freaking minutes.
That took way too long to get that scene.
There were some scenes that were supposed to show, like, that Gator
is a good guy.
The softer side of Gator.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Okay, the phone booth scene we can get back to because once we like sort of wrap up the synopsis and the discussion of the movie in the third act, I have ideas about why that phone booth scene was left in.
Okay.
But continue.
Well,
sorry.
I feel like a lot of the stuff that was left in with this was semi-prep work because this movie came out like 8 months before the first Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was laying the groundwork for that career jumpstart. So, but anyway, so that's when Gator and Aggie is Lauren Bacall's name in this movie. They start to drive back to the beach house because he's gone to the phone. I don't know. But there's a line of police and traffic is all backed up and they're like, we got to get out of here. So they leave and they go to the motel. And they check into the motel and they choose the room farthest away from the motel, the like offices of the motel. And then he calls the feds and says, "We're in trouble. You need to get down here. It's happening right now." Then he calls Bama and he's like, "I'm at the Hidden View Motel or whatever it's called.
Come get me, sucka.
Come and get me." Right.
Well, he says, bring $2,000 to, because I have pages that were still from the book.
Right.
So it's like,
that's how he brings him.
He's trying to lure him in because he wants to finish him.
Right.
Because he's
Gator. He does. He lures him in. He sabotages the room.
Which blows up Bones.
Bones gets blowed up.
Yeah.
In spectacular fashion.
Turned into Bones.
Probably.
Turned into
and
dust.
Then Reynolds chases Jerry Reed.
Yeah.
Down to the boardwalk.
Comical fight scene.
Right, where they
through
keep
the boardwalk.
Crashing through all of these like three-sided simple buy your hats, buy your towels shanties on the boardwalk.
The kiosks.
And then your goldfish bowl. There are a bunch of games.
Bunch
there are a bunch
of games.
Ring tosses
like that,
is what I should say.
Well, and there was some...
Shut up,
I knew what you meant, though.
They're playing the giant teddy bears.
But it was like...
That would have been actually funny.
It was a very comical fight scene because it was either like actual fighting and they'd crash through the side of one, or one of them would like ass over tea kettle into one and the other one would dive on top of them over the side walls, especially when they were doing like the game ones. So at the very end of it, he's got him... Gator's got Bama backed up against this thing, like over the edge of one. It's one of those that has like a garage door front opening,
right.
Like a full lever door instead of a roll up. And he's holding it, and it's clearly extremely heavy because he's like straining to hold it up. And the feds have arrived in a helicopter, and it's like hovering off in the distance. And Bama's leaned over backwards on this, and Gator just smashes it down. So I said to Troy, because then it just, boom, hard cut to the movie, like the epilogue aspect of the movie. And so it's like, you know, that's like the end of the fight. And I said to Troy, I was like, did he just decapitate him in front of the feds? Did he just kill him via beach kiosk? Like, what just happened? Troy's like, I think he just pinned him there for the feds to take him. And I was like, all right. Because you don't really know. Like, he got... It's the end of it. Bama's not going to be doing the stuff he was doing before, but you don't really know if he's dead or whatever.
I guess we'll have to wait for the third installment of the McCluskey trilogy.
I read somewhere that someone's trying to get that made.
Really?
Probably Sterling Archer.
Archer, yes. The dude that produces Archer, that's exactly what this is.
Okay, if anybody's familiar with the show Archer, the character Sterling Archer... he's a huge Burt Reynolds fan, and he loves White Lightning and Gator.
This is true.
Really?
This is true. I read this morning.
The character Sterling Archer loves Gator. And actually, as a matter of fact, Burt Reynolds has co-star. He had guest star in bits
in Archer.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
I've heard that animated series is pretty funny.
It is. It's and also one of those like blink and you miss it jokes because it's so fast-paced, and a lot of them are really smart. And
yeah.
It's funny, and it's also really, really crude, but it's really smart.
It's very funny. Adult. It is not for children,
yes.
Even though it's
no.
cartoon.
No.
So
that's the gist of it. Mm-hmm. If we want to make a couple of quick points, Dale, I know you're chomping
yes,
to say something.
First of all, it's a very Southern movie, and a lot of Burt Reynolds stuff, all the way up until like the mid-80s or maybe even further, is a lot of Southern stuff. It's him being an outlaw of some kind. But and like the outlaw with the heart of gold kind of thing, and like Smokey and the Bandits and like the
Cannibal Run,
Cannibal Run, and just all that. Deliverance was before this.
maybe not Deliverance.
Yeah. But it's the idea of like this anti-establishment, sort of like I'm a moonshiner, which automatically means like I'm a driver, because if you don't know. NASCAR got its start from people driving fast because they were moonshiners.
Mm-hmm.
But like it was a movie about the South, and like there's a mentality about the South, like this whole idea of being like this honorable outlaw, like this sort of noble scoundrel, like kind of a pirate with morals, you know. which I found kind of fascinating. And I was born in the South. I grew up there. And it...
That's... Oh, my wife is coming. Yay!
But, like, Smokey and the Bandit...
So many jokes. So many jokes.
Okay, all right, I hear it now. So, Burt Reynolds, my wife is coming.
Your wife has arrived. On yeah. Burt Reynolds' mustache.
Yes. Great, that's awesome. I feel really great about all of this. Oh, by the way, I think that this movie, speaking of Burt Reynolds' mustache, this feels gross now.
Go on.
He didn't have a mustache in Deliverance. He didn't have one in White Lightning. He does have one in Gator.
Yes.
Okay. But before we talk more about Burt Reynolds' mustache
and your wife.
Or Burt Reynolds bringing my wife to climax.
Donna's going to be so happy about this.
She won't listen.
I really need a beer. Who needs a beer? Or a drink of some kind. Something. Anything with alcohol.
We do one more?
Well, we have...
Yeah. Okay, let's do the last... Yeah.
We brought a second beer, and then we also brought...
Oh, Jesus.
Which we don't have to drink or try on the podcast, necessarily.
Yeah, we do.
But we couldn't do White Lightning and Gator and not bring...
Some moonshine. Now, this is moonshine that I bought at the Kenny Road beer
right.
Mecca.
Not real moonshine.
I mean, this is peach flavored.
Well, it is real moonshine. Because there's a whole, and this is what I looked into about it. So, moonshine as a drink to be distilled and bottled and packaged and all that stuff has been legal in the United States since 2010.
Oh.
They changed laws and made this, but it is defined as it being clear, unaged whiskey.
Okay.
That's the way the U.S. definition, the legal, blah, blah, whatever.
Okay, so technically, yes, moonshine. Legally moonshine.
Legally moonshine. So, oh my God.
Oh God, stop.
What are you doing?
Oh, it's not like a beer.
We all
okay,
know.
Wait. Troy just poured like 5 ounces of this stuff in there.
Right. Okay.
One glass.
So, let's talk about it. So, this is Old Smoky Distillery, which is based in Tennessee. It's in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, which are like sister cities. They're super close to each other. They're a longtime whiskey distillery. That when the laws in Tennessee changed, they started also making moonshine because they feel like that's part of the history of whiskey in the United States. So it's original corn, unaged corn whiskey. They have a flavor that's called White Lightning. There's also a very common nickname for moonshine is also Mountain Dew. But I'm assuming that because of the soda company, that's never going to go forward beyond that. But that I found a lot of vintage, like, secret labels and things like that that labeled moonshine as Mountain Dew. Like, that was, like, a kind that you could
There's
make.
There's an old song called Mountain Dew that is not about the soda bottle.
And the old cans used to have, like, a little hillbilly as their mascot.
Yes, on the soda. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So the Mountain Dew soda was named after Mountain Dew,
correct.
The moonshine. The term moonshine. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, like, it was, like, you know.
Yeah. So there are a couple restaurants. You can do distillery tours, things like that, of Old Smoky. I think that's what this is just called.
I see that frequently in stores.
Yeah. So, but I looked into, like, moonshining in general because in White Lightning, that's the problem.
Right.
The sheriff is running the county. It's very violent. There's tons of moonshiners everywhere. He's in trouble for moonshining, like, the whole nine yards. That's just sort of his persona in Gator. It doesn't really have anything to do with moonshine. And White Lightning doesn't really have anything to do with it either.
He was a rum runner or whatever they call him.
He was a moonshiner. You know,
it was a problem or whatever.
But I thought this was interesting because I actually just listened to a dollop, which I know I've talked about that podcast before, where it's an American history podcast. Well, they do an entire episode on the Whiskey Rebellion, which is fascinating. You should totally listen to that one. But the idea of moonshining dates back to the Revolution, and there were tons of people who literally survived, like, in a trade and barter type of situation. You're going to work for me. I'm going to pay you in moonshine. And which to me, I kept, like, the whole time I was listening to that on the podcast, I was like, how do these people eat and house themselves if all they're being paid for is in moonshine? But there must have been more of like, okay, you're going to pay me 3 bottles of moonshine. I'm going to take 2 to do this and 1 to, you know, whatever.
That's
but
a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was like, no, it's not like, it would be like if today you came over and helped me move and I thanked you by paying you in beer. Like, it was like that, not like an addiction kind of issue.
Got
you
it.
Know what I mean? But so the revolution has ended. The U.S. newly formed is short on cash. So our good friend Alexander Hamilton says, let's tax liquor and spirits. And therefore, that'll make us some fast cash. And if you listen to the dollop, it goes more
I'm
going to
tax your shot. I'm going to tax your shot.
If you listen to the dollop, they go into way better, amazing detail about why the Whiskey Rebellion happened, because it's like big corporations weren't having to pay tax. They're really just taxing the little guys, which was screwing them, et cetera, et cetera. Listen to the episode. You'll love it. But that's how moonshining started, because people were like, huh, yeah, no, we just fought a whole war about how we don't pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck you. And that's where it went. Fast forward to the 1920s, and Prohibition comes into play. And, like, there had been, leading up to Prohibition, tons of, like, county by county, state by state, area by area that had been declaring dry.
Right.
And then Prohibition takes over and is like, nope, nobody can have it anywhere. And moonshining went straight through the roof, because everyone was like, well, my grandpappy knows a guy, kind of thing.
Yeah, the temperance movement and like the women's suffrage.
All
it's
of that. So moonshine skyrocketed, organized crime really got itself organized and fully blossomed. So then by 1933, when the repeal of Prohibition happened, moonshining sort of fell by the way, because people were like, oh, I can get stuff legally now that doesn't make me go blind. I'm going to buy that. And so that kind of went from there. So it was still a big problem for the feds in the 60s and 70s, especially in the South, because even though Prohibition had repealed, all of those little counties and small areas that had gone dry before Prohibition didn't undo.
Sure.
They still stayed dry, which is why you're still going to see tons and tons of Southern-themed movies with that adorable outlaw kind of thing. And that moonshining thing is happening in the background because it was still a huge part of the way things were in the South.
Yeah.
And most moonshiners, when they got busted by the feds, it wasn't because they were making alcohol, because the feds didn't care about that. It was because they were using it for money laundering and tax evasion. And that was the thing that they didn't like, which is what they are using to bust Bama McCall in Gator.
True.
Is
that's right.
Tax stuff.
The very first thing, like, we need to bust him for tax evasion.
Right. They're like, we know he does all this other shit, but we can't do anything about that. So
again,
we bust him for tax evasion.
We get out of
the
bonus,
tax evasion rather than any other atrocities that he committed over his life.
Yeah, never mind his racketeering, his extortion,
his murder.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I just thought it was interesting. So
it is. And it's something that I actually thought about when I was watching this movie, is like this idea of like the honorable outlaw. And like there is a romanticizing of the outlaw culture in the South. And yeah, that's the face I made too.
Yeah.
We're trying this shine, this moonshine that they got. The what is it, Old Smoky?
Yeah. I mean, and peach flavored, so you know it's just like they made down.
I hate peach. I hate the flavor.
So
peach
will not
really?
Partake of the peach.
I hate that flavor.
I had not.
Southern Comfort, go to hell.
Does Southern Comfort taste like peach?
It's a peach
whiskey.
Peach liqueur. Peach whiskey liqueur.
You know what, then? This would, I mean, because, like, it tastes like a peach syrup almost.
It's offensive to me.
And then it's got, like,
it's
a kick behind
experience
it. It's a 20% alcohol.
Yeah,
it's 40 proof.
It's 40 proof.
So it's not, like, massively...
Their White Lightning and some of their other flavors, because I did go to their website, too, they have 100 proof and 100...
Sure,
plus
right.
proof.
Which
so.
Is, I mean, there's an idea that as somebody who, like, I'm a whiskey enthusiast, and I've had real moonshine, like, wherever it was purchased before it got to me, there's probably a guy with a shotgun within 50 yards of it.
And a still.
Yes.
And still. And milk jugs.
And, like, it came to me in a mason jar, like, not a mason, like a market mason jar, like, somebody put it in a jar that probably at one point held like
mayonnaise,
right? Or like green beans or something like that.
There are bugs floating in it. I mean, like, this is good stuff.
This spent at least one season in somebody's basement. But and they're just passing it around like in a, and I tried some. I'm like, it was, and not as burny as I thought, but I could not hear for a few seconds.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard about like going blind and all that stuff. I'm like, okay, well, whatever.
Go deaf.
But I literally, like, for about 3 seconds, I'm like, what?
Oh man.
And I got a little weird, and like I got warm in weird places, like that I don't normally get warm. And he's like, yeah, no, that's like 180 proof.
Yeah.
Like that's that's rocket fuel. I'm like, okay, then I will not have any more.
Keep your cigarette with you.
Yeah.
And I did smoke at the time, so I kind of left that at arm's length.
How did this movie make you feel about smoking? Because like,
we had this conversation.
Like they smoked through this whole movie, and Burt Reynolds is almost Bruce Willis level, like.
Cool looking smoke.
Good looking. Like when he smokes, it's like, oh, I would have that cigarette too.
You're also a former smoker.
Yeah, I'm also a former smoker. I haven't smoked in 10 years, 12 years now, I think. Mm. So it's been a long time. It's not as, it has started to loosen its grip on me. Mm. But you watch a movie where somebody's smoking and they smoke well.
Because there is enjoyable. Yeah, no.
Yeah, there is a difference, you know? And yeah, this movie made me really want a cigarette.
This movie really made me, honestly, not want to watch this movie again. smoking aside, the moonshine aside, like, the racketeering and the all that stuff, like, I just didn't, more than anything, I just wanted it to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Full disclosure, right. I didn't actually watch it all the way.
So, we've had our fun with this. If we are done with our piece, shall we give it a rating?
Yes.
We said all we need to say.
Yep.
I've said all I need to say about this movie. Sorry.
Pete, help us with the rating system.
I'm done. Rating system is based on a 6-pack of beer. So if you liked the film and don't need any beer to get through it, it would be a 0 or a 1. If this is a terrible film and you need something to deaden the pain of said film, you might make it a 5 or a 6. So a 6 would be a terrible film. 0 or 1 would be a good film that you enjoyed and you may be able to watch it at any point in time. So, Kathleen, you're going last.
Okay.
Troy, how many beers did you need to get through this beer?
For me, this is just a 4. Like, there's a lot of padding. There's a lot. It took a while to get to some points. But, like, I kind of enjoy watching Bruce.
I like Bruce Campbell.
Okay. I have to interject here. Troy has this problem. Where he will take, usually he'll take the first name, like he'll think of two actors that either have a similar first name or a similar last name, and he will interchange them. And the most famous and easiest way I can do this is Patrick Swayze, Patrick Stewart. Two drastically different people, right? But he will call one, the other one, whatever. And we call it, because our friend Jason has this same problem. And early in our WatcherCast podcast, Jason made this mistake. And he then said the line from Dirty Dancing, "You've got spaghetti arms, but with a Patrick Stewart."
You've got spaghetti arms.
Yes, exactly. So that's when Troy or Jason does this, we call it spaghetti arming. Troy's terrible at spaghetti arming. He does it all the time. So the fact that this movie stars Burt Reynolds, who smokes through the whole thing, and that Troy's smoking demon is Bruce Willis, and we've talked about Bruce Campbell on this podcast we've been seeing here, he gonna keep calling him Bruce. Like, this is gonna happen.
So let me try this again.
I really love this word for
it. I enjoy watching... God damn it.
You almost did it! I saw it!
The face said Bruce!
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
And honestly, the plot's not bad. It just needs to, like, you need to tighten this up a little bit, you know? And there's some funny parts, and you can, like, cut some of those extra... It's not bad, but it's still 4 beers. It's still 4 beers.
I think that your 4 beers is a bit more charitable than my 4 beers, because I am definitely a 4 beer, 4.5. The storyline in and of itself, it's okay. The movie's got some great points, and it's got some great ideas, like the Honorable Outlaw, like the And the whole idea of like being a South is a very Southern movie, and and the South is by its very nature culturally sort of just, they mistrust either things in the North or just establishment in general,
mm-hmm.
and so they trust in their outlaws, and so it's like one outlaw bringing another outlaw in, which, and I like that idea,
mm-hmm.
But the movie was so poorly directed and edited that it got really distracting, and it's just kind of getting jerked from like one side to another, like, oh god, okay, like just being pulled in a bunch of different directions uncomfortably. And I feel like Burt Reynolds could have gotten better performances out of his actors.
Himself.
And himself. No, actually, I liked his own performances.
I liked his
performance.
He did
fine. But and I've seen some of his other later stuff, and he does get better at directing. Sort of. But this one was bad, and it took me four and a half beers to get through it. If somebody were to ask me, like, hey, you want to go see Gator tonight? I would not say yes.
No. Gator. I think the worst part of Gator was I was excited to see this film because it looked like it was going to be a Cannonball Run, car chase, Crazy Smokey and the Bandit. Woohoo! We got the moonshine going on and we're going to chase down this guy. We're going to get... It was none of that!
Thank you.
It was none of that except the awesome boat chase in the first part of the film, which
that
was
the rocket boat chase. Yes.
Oh my
awesome.
God, it was great.
Being chased by a helicopter.
Yes.
Trying to land on the boat.
Right. And somehow the helicopter stopped the boat in the middle of the river. I'm sorry. Fuck you. And as that scene ended, I'm like, okay, I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready. I haven't even had a beer yet. This is great. And then I had another 100 minutes of drivel with minus that little bit in the part with the cat lady and stealing the documents.
Yeah.
That was very funny. But man, it just drug and it was slow. There were a couple of interesting things I thought that Bruce Reynolds got.
He's
getting on me!
It's also contagious, by the way.
There were a couple of interesting shots Burt Reynolds took. But they're not really worth mentioning. There are a couple of things that he did with the camera I thought, oh, that's very interesting. Not worth mentioning because the rest of it is just drivel. Especially the beginning, the very opening scene with the politicians talking.
Yes.
If they had been reading off of cue cards, it would have been better. Because
yeah.
they were trying to remember their
yes.
lines. And, oh dear God, shoot all of them now and redo this scene. Oh,
yes.
It was terrible. This... I was so, so disappointed. And I should have known better because White Lightning kind of was that disappointing. It had a lot of car chasing. There was a lot of...
Yeah, almost too much car chasing.
I'm not going to go into it.
It reminds you of how much of like 80s movies and TV revolves around car chasing, 70, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it was... And it was
Deuce
of
Hazard?
And even 80s. Though the car chasing in White Lightning was... revenge instead of super fun Cannonball Run stuff.
Right.
It was still car chasing and it's still kind of fun. We didn't get any chasing at all after the boat scene.
Mm-hmm.
That really
one around circles in the parking lot at the hotel.
Yeah, with smiling bones.
Not even worth mentioning. That was nothing.
So I was, my little heart was just shrunk. Like, oh, I wanted so much more from this. And I got some goofiness going on. It was still 115 minutes. I'm hanging my hat on that. Good God. 70 minutes would have been a tolerable film. But since it was 115 minutes, I easily had 5 beers for this film. So I'm giving it 5 beers because that's actually what I drank. Because there was so much, and I just let it ride. I didn't even pause the damn movie. I just walked out, I got another beer, came back. Easily 5 beers.
Yeah.
Not a fan of this film.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I watched it completely sober because, for whatever reason, I do.
You need to knock that shit off.
Well,
so exactly.
Here's what it is. I have a hard enough time staying awake during these movies because we don't start them till after the kid goes to bed.
Oh,
so it's like if I start drinking at 9:30 two beers in, I'm going to be unconscious. And I am actually trying to watch these movies because I've committed to doing this. Committed being the opportunity word in that sentence. But yeah, I would say five. And really, my five would be from the politicians to the sad chase scene at the hospital. Because from that point forward, to me, the movie is interesting. That's where they meet the cat lady. That's where they go to the courthouse. They go to the beach house. They blow up the motel. Like, all the action happens from Bert and Aggie getting together till the end of the film. Everything else is just set up for why Bama's a bad guy. And it's way too long. It's way too long.
It's way too long. The whole Bama setting up, man, it did it for me, though. I hated the fuck out of that dude.
Oh, totally.
Especially after the opinarium or the opium den.
With the girl.
Oh, the brothel?
Prostitutes.
Yeah. Yes. How long was that scene? How long did that scene need to be, honestly?
It didn't need to be very long.
Like, okay, I'm 15-year-old and I'm under the influence of drugs and I'm going to make this, like, just draw this out.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, no, this is already completely,
it was completely wrong.
Yes.
The smiley thing was uncomfortable, and that was, I get it. You're building this up. You're painting a picture here for me. But dear God, broad strokes, please. I totally
right,
Picasso.
Right. No,
so,
I totally agree.
But,
though I did enjoy Burt Reynolds drunk when they slipped him a Mickey.
That was funny.
In his
That was awesome, actually.
Hilarious.
That was a great scene.
Still went a little long, but yes.
Yes.
Too long. But funny.
But anyway.
Troy, 4. Dave, 4.5.
4?
Yeah. 4.5.
Mm-hmm. 4.
4.5. And Kathleen and I both 5.
Mm.
Those are fair because this movie is a turd. A big turd.
Speaking of which,
The bathroom's around the corner.
No, next month.
Oh!
Next month is my birthday.
Oh, boy. And Troy has been dangling this carrot in front of us for 2 months now.
Oh, what is that?
Super secretive. He ordered this movie.
Yeah.
Came, and, like, when it arrived at the house, he was like, wouldn't let me see it, blah, blah, whatever. He's brought it here with him today, wrapped in white paper.
You don't know what this movie is yet.
I couldn't even see what the movie was.
I'm excited. Because I liked Kathleen's idea of, like, going back to the year of your birth, but I, like, went back to 71. I'm like, no.
They have color back then?
Right, exactly. There were so few films shot back then because film was so hard to find.
Raw trees.
Exactly. So I didn't like that, and then I wanted to do a trauma film, and then I went back and watched, like, the top 10 trauma film, like, trailers, and I was like, God, these things are so gross. They're so horrible.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think Kathy would never forgive me.
I was going to opt out if he decided to pick that.
And so I finally was like, wait a minute. You know what I enjoy is comic books. I love comic book movies. And Dave's looking up like, oh my God.
Don't be what I think it is.
What do you think it is, Dave?
No. Just show me.
So
I'm going to write this down.
I'm like, what is... What
no, stop, 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 stop. I'm going to write this down.
Dave's going to write down his guess.
What could be the best bad comic book movie that I could possibly choose?
The Corman version of Fantastic Four?
That was actually...
So many options.
There are so many options.
Captain America?
But I...
Yes! Howard,
oh my God! God damn it!
We're going to watch Howard the Duck next one.
Yes!
I've
so excited!
I've never seen Howard the
You've
Duck.
You've never seen Howard the Duck?
Why?
I've never seen it either.
So...
It's bad. It's weird. Did you put Howard Duck?
Oh, Daredevil was a good, but no, I wasn't going to do that to us.
Daredevil. The Ben Affleck Daredevil or Howard the Duck were the two.
I was so angry with that movie.
Let's just, anyway. Howard the Duck.
Howard
yes. fucking Leah Thompson.
I saw
the
that.
Duck.
Leah Thompson. I saw it in the theaters.
Troy has
kid.
A giant crush on Leah Thompson.
I have a giant crush on Leah Thompson.
You and me both, brother.
So
Howard the fucking.
Hilarious.
George Lucas did this.
Yes.
George Lucas wrote and directed this, I think.
Didn't he also do the Christmas special that we're not allowed to talk about?
No, you not.
So tune in next month for Howard the Duck.
Kathleen, where can our wonderful fans find us on the interwebs?
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, all the letters GBB. I always mess this up.
GBBMN.
Yes.
The podcast.
No, just
GBBM.
Yeah. It's Twitter and it's Instagram, and then we have a Facebook page that's Good Beer Bad Movie.
Go like us on the Facebook page. We are not on any of the podcatchers yet, but we're working on that, I believe. Unless we are.
I don't know. I mean, okay. I use Pocket Cast, and so when you post for us, Troy pulls it down onto Pocket Cast.
Oh, cool.
So,
and by the way, it is GBBMN Podcast.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. GBBMN on Twitter is Giacomo Belfonti.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I don't know who that is,
but Good Beer, Bad Movie Night Podcast, abbreviated GBBMN Podcast.
Yes.
And you can also get a hold of us on Gmails.
Yes.
With GBBMNpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
For fuck's sake, why did I choose this name?
I don't know. It's a mouthful, but all the letters are a mouthful, but at least they're consistently across the board. So
it rolls off the tongue. However, when you abbreviate it, it is
doesn't.
A clusterfuck.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think as we fade to black that you should play us out with a little Jerry Reed and the ballad.
Okay, everybody.
Gator McCluskey.
Jerry Reed's going to close us out here tonight. Thank you for joining us at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. Check us out on the Facebooks, the Gmails, send us emails. Whatever else.
Twitters and Instagrams.
We'll see you for Howard the Duck.
Howard the fucking Duck.
Is raised in the swamp. In back of sleep. He grew up eating rattlesnake meat. Drinking homemade brew. The folks hereabout call him Gator. And everybody knows him well. Meanest man ever hit the swamp. Folks swear come straight out of hell. Well, Gator McCluskey sitting on a stump, hammer pulled back on a 12-gauge pump, watching that swamp, looking out for the law, while he make the best corn liquor you ever saw. Run good whiskey.